Welcome in to the Bearcast on Sikkim365.com. We are here at Big 12 Media Days. The whole team is here. We're just going to talk a little bit about what we've heard and seen today. We already got to talk to Dave Aranda. He already went up and did his press conference. Got to hear from the players as well. But I think overall it's been a very entertaining day, a day with a lot of questions that weren't answered from the conference standpoint as far as the Brendan Sorsby part. But aside from that, I think we've gotten a lot of good information about Baylor and a lot of good conversations as well. So Cole, I'm going to start with you. What has kind of been your biggest takeaway from today, from an interview you've heard, or just from something that you've seen today?
So I think probably our conversation with Doug McNamee, which we're not here for Doug, right? But it was a very positive reinforcement of his mission with Baylor. It's the fan first era. And I recently had an opinion piece in the USA Today website, and where he just rehashed that in the mission that he has to engage everything that he's doing. So yeah, we're here for Dave Aranda. We're here for the football players. But Doug McNamee, once again, kind of making his presence felt of what Baylor is going to be moving forward, and how in an evolving landscape that is NIL, that is everything that needs to be done within college athletics, he's going to focus on the fans. And I think that's a huge positive. We've seen everything they've done this offseason, from the Waco rush pass to the tailgating to whatever it might be that's next, right? Like I just think that he's focusing so much on that, that the importance of this football season is important. It's big for the program, but it's also longer than that, and what's going to come next after this season concludes, whatever, however that might go.
So I think that's an important part of this. I also felt like when Ashley and Colt interviewed Doug, Ashley kind of asked him to dive a little bit deeper into kind of his role, what he's been working on. Ashley, can you kind of talk about what he said during that and kind of what he is emphasizing outside of just the fan first experience?
Well, I think it's no surprise that he walked into what we would call a hornet's nest with the state of college athletics. So I think the chaos that's surrounding college athletics right now was something he wasn't expecting to the degree. The uncertainty, whether or not this bill in Congress is going to pass, how that's going to change the landscape of college athletics. I think he really wants to intentionally have a department within Baylor Athletics that's focused on the organization of NIL, almost like we see in pro sports, like a general manager that oversees that whole process. So I think he's working towards that end. But I think it's, you know, he's got his mind in the right place as far as, you know, the fan is the most important part of this component. And it's a virtuous cycle. You get it right with the fan, good things happen. The money follows, the enthusiasm follows, the crowds follow. You got to take care of the winning on the field, obviously. He's fully aware of that. But I came away even more confident in his ability to lead this program where it needs to go.
So quickly, one thing he did mention was that Monster, who is now the title sponsor for the Big 12 this season, is also going to allow Baylor to have NIL opportunities and every school to have individual NIL opportunities to varying degrees. It's not all going to be the same for every school, but I did feel like that was a pretty interesting nugget as well. Levi, what's kind of been your main takeaway impression, shifting maybe away from Doug's conversation?
Yeah, I feel like every year, for at least the last 3 or 4 years, this has more so been about Aranda coming here and saying, I did X wrong, I'm going to do Y. I'm kind of used to that at this point. Everybody knows what the situation is there. I think things that I took away were stuff that was related to actually on the field play, with Aranda talking about how Jose Wheeler and Yakiri Walker's situations still aren't determined. And we're sitting here in mid-July, and that's pretty concerning. I mean, potentially your starting center and one of your starting defensive linemen and probably your best player on defense, that's not resolved, so that's definitely a big concern. He talked about that two-week window. Hopefully that gets straightened out, but you know, I don't think he sounded overly confident. I don't think he sounded overly concerned either, so we'll see where that ends up. And then the other thing I was always also really impressed about was just how positive everybody's interactions were with DJ Lagway, and I think he's incredibly humble. That's something you might not expect when he's, you know, that high of a recruit, all the headlines that have surrounded him throughout his career, but the guys seem to love playing for him. They talk about how tough he is, how great of a leader he is, and so yeah, it's exciting to see I'm most excited about this fall watching him play. And I think everybody around him seems to just really be ready to run through a brick wall for him.
Yeah, Jack, do you want to kind of talk about maybe that or what your kind of takeaway has been?
Yeah, where Levi's kind of been talking about DJ, I've kind of come away more excited about the defense and what the defense can be, because especially when they're talking about going three deep on the D-line, where maybe none of those guys will end up getting, like, all Big 12 at the end of the year, but they're going to be able to constantly throw fresh bodies out there, and how the entire defense is, like, the scheme is supposed to be more simple and aggressive. I think that really is a big cleanup on what they've dealt with Dave as the coordinator, which everyone knows he's super cerebral and he knows different levels to all this, but to be able to get that knowledge into his players on the field and have them execute on that, what I've gained most from media days is probably just the feeling that these guys are going to be able to play fast. Now, are they going to be up to the level? I think that's really what the question is, but at least they'll be playing fast, and I think that's something we haven't been able to see a lot lately. And then for Dave himself, I think he's really relaxed not having those defensive coordinator responsibilities anymore. I think he has a better grasp of the program as a whole right now than he did at this time last year, because he doesn't have to be so focused on the defense or on a specific position group room inside of the defense. So that's what I'm taking away. I know every year he gets better at this, but I was really kind of struck by how calm he seems to be right now. And I know there might be an element of, like, well, this is the last go of it. Or it could be that he finally has stuff in a place where he actually can just be calm about it all, and he sees what's coming at him. But that's my main takeaway.
Okay. Yeah, I want to add on to that real quick. I think that we go back to 21, and you look at the setup of that team, and Dave Aranda was the head coach. You had Ron Roberts, and you had Jeff Grimes as coordinators. Dave Aranda's involvement was the head coach. In 22, I still don't think that went back to a coaching situation. I think it was a evaluation roster issue. And this is the first year since 2021 that maybe you say maybe there's enough talent and you have two coordinators in place. And year one of Jeff Grimes in 21 resulted in a Big 12 championship. I'm not expecting that, but maybe we see something to Dave Aranda stepping away, allowing his coordinators to coach. Something could come from that. We haven't seen it really since, 22, but I still think that was a personnel issue, personnel mistakes more than it was coaching mistakes.
I think one thing I want to just add on, just a few of these different things that we've talked about. The first one, when I talked to Dave Aranda, he mentioned how good of a leader DJ Lagway is, especially through football, whether it was taking guys to Miami and getting to know them on a personal level, whether it was going to dinner with the offensive line. And he actually compared him to Gary Bohannon. And I've always pushed back on the idea that 2022 would have somehow gone magically differently with Gary Bohannon. I think that team was flawed in a lot of ways, that it probably wouldn't have mattered, and Gary went on to other places and wasn't as good. But I do think for that 2021 team, you really felt him, and you felt his leadership and his drive. And if Baylor's going to get that from DJ Lagway, plus a guy who is just far more talented than Gary ever was, that could be massive. So I felt like that comparison was really telling, because Dave wouldn't just throw that around the way that he respects Gary and the way that he's always talked about him. So I found that to be rather intriguing. I think the defensive conversation is a really important one. This team is built in the trenches. This team is built to win up front. If they get Hosea Wheeler eligible, this team is going to be far better up front than possibly any team they've ever had, maybe aside from 2021, but I would say it's still deeper than that team. You know, you don't have the Apu maybe, but you are deeper than even that team was. That is very intriguing. They have so many bodies that they can throw into a game and so many guys who can actually pass rush, which has been a massive problem over the years. Ashley, I know you had something. What's going on?
Yeah, I just want to echo that. I think coming out of media days last year, we knew Dave was confident in his linebacker group. Obviously, that proved to be fool's gold to some extent, partly because of injuries to some key guys. But I think what's been communicated to us in our breakfast with him, but also today, is that he has a lot of confidence that they can run the ball and they can stop the run. And they've made investments on the lines, as you've mentioned. He keeps mentioning the Siraki brothers, Kibble at guard, Logan Moore on the offensive line as standouts, and a lot of confidence in the front seven, and especially the depth of the front seven. And I think that rip-and-go mentality that Klanderman's going to bring, simplifying the defense, really letting his playmakers, know the plays, but just, play green and aggressive is going to make a big difference in what we see on defense, hopefully.
Yeah, he mentioned that this defense can be predicated on pre-snap, and they're going to run more zone, and that's going to help them kind of be, like you said, more simplified. And he straight up, he looked me in the face and was like smiling and like really excited about that. I think he just recognizes that the past 2 years, they were just far too complex, trying to do too much with the personnel that just wasn't a fit for it. And so I think there's a big, shift coming in that direction. Do you have anything to add on kind of the defense and their mentality or anything for Miranda on that side of things?
I would just say I'm in wait and see mode, because we've heard him praise up certain types of personnel the last couple of years, and they've completely flamed out. So I am very optimistic that they will be able to play faster under Klanderman. He obviously has a great track record, but when Aranda says certain things, I'm still like, I got to see it to believe it this fall.
I hear that, but I think what's new this year, at least to me, is the depth piece of it, and that's why I feel better. Again, I don't want to be a sunshine pumper. I don't want to jump on that train yet. I still think it could be a very tough season for Baylor, but just hearing about the depth in the trenches and the investment in the trenches, that is something different this year that I think is the right direction.
Yeah, I think that's right as well. I do want to mention while we're here, just because just a really cool moment when DJ Lagway was doing his speech, he actually gave Sikkim 365 a shout out. He sent me his film back during the recruiting process, and Baylor ended up being his first offer, and he's been really appreciative of that. But man, to just hear that and to hear him give us a shout out, I mean, how cool is that for you, Colt?
And obviously we both had a relationship with him, but I remember DJ being in eighth grade, and we had a conversation because of his dad, obviously, and you don't really know how good he's going to be at that time, but he was a baseball player. He had just done some pitching lessons or something, and he had messaged me and said he threw 87 or something as an eighth grader. And so you knew the physical talent was there to have that capability, but I think for all of us, that relationship goes back pretty far, the knowledge of DJ. So to see him here today, knowing that if NIL wouldn't have been a component when he was recruited, he probably would have ended up at Baylor out of high school. But now he's in Waco, and I think he really does feel at ease, because I truly think there was a burden on him to take the money from wherever it came from out of high school that he wasn't going to get at Baylor. But now there's kind of a do-over, and it could be a really cool redemption story for him. For in 1 or 2 years, however long it takes, there's that opportunity, and I think he will thrive in that situation. And we've heard it a lot today. The Gainesville scene was much different than what it is in Waco, and I think the pressure's less, even though the coaching situation's a little bit different as well right now. I just think that DJ's going to thrive in Waco.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think one thing that, what kind of just stands out when you talk about the DJ to Baylor piece of this is just kind of how it all came together, and the fact that he's had this involvement with Baylor for such a long time, and he continues to kind of talk on that and speak on the fact that maybe he never saw himself really at Baylor just because of the money piece that you mentioned, but now that he's in Waco, it's like, man, there's just an ease there. I think one thing that he talked to me about back in our interview a few months ago, he mentioned the fact that this is his first healthy offseason that he has had since entering college. It's the healthiest he has felt since his senior year of high school. That matters. And last year, I mean, I remember all the talk last year about him being a Heisman hopeful, about him potentially winning the Heisman there at Florida. And everyone kept talking about, but he's injured. What's that going to look like? You got closer and closer to the season. People still talked about it. it's interesting because now he's healthy and we all know the talent is there. That's why people talked about him last year, but now no one is talking about him. I find that to be a fascinating kind of shift there and something that hopefully pays off for him.
Yeah, and he probably likes that, right? I mean, all the comments he's made about, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he basically made it out to be like at Florida, like he wasn't treated like a person just because of all the hype and the storyline surrounding him, and he was kind of like in his own little bubble. But being in Waco, he can just kind of kick back and be himself and relax, and you know, I'm sure that's going to do wonders for him on the field where he doesn't have to feel like the weight of the world is on his shoulders. He can just sit back and throw the ball and run over some dudes, and I'm sure it feels good knowing that he's playing where his dad played as well.
Yeah, and Gainesville sounded absolutely terrible for him based on, what, that CBS article that was written about him? Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I'm sure he's happy to have some relief there. As far as other areas, is there anything else Baylor-wise that y'all want to talk about or mention that we heard today that you feel like is important? Nothing? Yeah.
Well, I'll just say I was very impressed with Jamal Weiss physically. He's a specimen. I mean, it's impressive to look at him. So, the talk about spending money on the defensive line and the expectations there, I think you will see, but I'm encouraged. I did talk to a player, to be nameless, but just talking about DJ, and said faster than Sawyer, even when Sawyer was at his, you know, running the ball well a couple years ago. Mentioned, you know, how important it is at a place like Baylor to be able to run the football on 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, and move those chains. I think that's a component that's been missing, you know, really since maybe Charlie Brewer. I mean, Blake Shapen did it a little bit, but Charlie was good at that. I mean, Charlie was good at moving the sticks, and I think DJ is going to bring that component, maybe like a Max, you know, Dugan did for TCU, and you saw what happened with them. I mean, you know, just having that mobile quarterback. So I think that's a huge deal.
Yeah, I'll add on the thing with Weiss. I think that you expect to see one like Wheeler be physically imposing. I know Weiss was here during the spring, but I don't really think back to 2025 and think of an imposing figure on the defensive line. I think Baylor's going to have a couple of those in a different scheme as well. Like, you don't need a big nose tackle, but they'd have some big guys. And so I think seeing him, and he has high expectations, I think, because he's here. They could have sent anyone that they wanted to, but he's a leader. He's obviously playing a pretty prominent role. But I think Baylor having two guys that, if Wheeler is eligible, is a really big deal and something they haven't really happened in terms of sheer size. Not necessarily talent, but just big dudes that, I mean, have they really had it? We think about the Trey Emery, Jarrell Boykins year where they both got hurt. You miss both of those guys. They just haven't had that size that they might actually have this year.
And I think a big part of that is guys playing the right position as well, you know, because like Jackie Marshall might have been that guy last year, but there's only one of him and he wasn't really playing his position they was supposed to play because of how thin they were on the defensive line. So you got guys actually playing their natural position while also being physically imposing. And there's guys who aren't here. You mentioned Wheeler, you know, guys like Xavien Hardy, Ryan Davis, Garrick Ponder, Devontae Tozzino, who is just like completely lost in the shuffle, who was like a starter for them last year and might be, you know, more of a two deep guy this year. I mean, that kind of depth that Jack mentioned, I mean, it is it's a huge difference between this team and last year's team. And I think one thing that has stood out is that I don't think Baylor felt like they could match what Tech did last year as far as, oh, here's our starting four, all of them are going to get drafted. But where they could potentially match them is, yeah, we may not have that starting four, but we have a next four and a next four to make sure that our starting four is always fresh. And I think that's going to be a key component in all of this for the defensive line there. Outside that, a couple things Big 12-wise. Brett Yormark completely evaded the questions about Brendan Sorsby today. All of the entire Texas Tech situation has been attempted to be kind of glossed over. Joey McGuire even said that if Will Hammond hadn't gotten hurt, they wouldn't have taken a transfer portal quarterback, which I found to be hilarious because they spent so much on Sorsby. But it is what it is. That's kind of the conversations that you get when you're at Big 12 Media Days. But is there something from that or something from another team that y'all have heard today that really stood out? I'll start with Levi.
I hope Baylor doesn't come back and bite them that Eric Morris is at Oklahoma State.
That was my main takeaway, because I really enjoyed listening to him up there.
For me, and we kind of talked about this at lunch, but it's really that the way Yormark avoided those questions about Sorsby and the betting and Texas Tech and, like, oh, why should Tech fans be like in on the Big 12 if the Big 12 is not going to be supporting them, which, come on. But just the way he did it, and we talked about this, that almost feels like there's still legal battles to be had for the Big 12, and that's kind of some of the reason why Yormark answered the way he did. That stood out to me.
Yeah, I think there's still some bad blood there. I still think there's some conversations to be had about that, and I think that's probably why it wasn't addressed today. But I mean, it could be even deeper than that. I mean, I guess we'll have to find out. But it definitely seems like there's some stress still tied to that situation.
I'll echo Levi on Eric Morris. I liked his approach. Obviously, he hasn't coached a game there, but I think that's a good hire. I think he's a great fit at Oklahoma State. I would have loved him at Baylor potentially. Realized that. I completely forgot that Scott Frost was the coach at UCF. This is his second year, but I heard him today, and he was wearing a pretty tailored suit, pretty fit-looking dude. Interesting component there at UCF. But in general, like, I will say this, and it's from the football perspective, but I actually really enjoy Dave Aranda's approach in these settings. Like, you might just think he's the most boring dude ever, but when he starts talking about the intricacies of football or his team, he knows what he has in terms of being able to describe it. Maybe he's not always right, but he is able to express what he thinks he has. And I appreciate that, because there's a lot of coaches that just get up there and just kind of ramble on. Dave doesn't do that. He's very, very well organized in his thoughts. And I appreciated that today after listening to some of these other coaches as well. But in general, only half the team's here. On this first day, but I think it's going to be I agree with Yormark in that the Big 12 is going to be pretty deep, especially if a team like Oklahoma State can take that jump, or maybe UCF can take a jump under Scott Frost, and then obviously if Baylor can too, I think it can be a very deep league this year.
Yeah, just a couple other takeaways. Smokey's jogging 1 to 4 miles five times a week. So congrats to Smokey on getting on a great health track, very commendable. And Levi has severely overrated the dill, Mrs. Vick's dill pickle chips, spicy dill. He was hyping these up like you've never heard. And I have to say, compared to the hype, definitely a C-.
Yeah, I think that those are definitely some great takeaways, Ashley, from today. I can confirm I tried the chips as well and came away rather disappointed. I prefer the jalapeno ones.
I didn't even try them, so I have some more.
That's one of the biggest takeaways. We're all, yeah.
The amount of monsters I'm going to take.
Like, yes, yes. We are all on monster, at least number two, probably going to be number three before we leave here today, except for Ashley. Ashley sticking to water today. Yeah, Monster Water. Monster, not the sponsor of this podcast, but the sponsor of the Big 12.
If they
wanted to. We're open. Yes. We're open to all opportunities here. Yes, yes, we are. NIL opportunities are welcome. But that's it for today. It's been a long break from the Bearcast, but hopefully we will get that back here in the coming weeks and months as fall camp gets started here, I believe, on August 6th. So be ready for that. Outside of that, we will talk to you all soon. Thanks for listening. This has been the Bearcast on Sikkim365.com.
Join Sikkim365 Premium on a $1 for 1 month trial to read our experts' notes and insights. Know about high school commits, off-season transfers, coaching staff changes, and so much more before the rest. Also, download the Sikkim365 app on your iPhone today to get instant notifications of breaking news, read up on the latest inside info, easily interact with other Baylor fans on our forums, and get alerts for anything published by your favorite staff members.